On Wednesday evenings, we've been taking a look at growing up in our Lord, growing up in our Lord. And last time we took a look at some things that those who are young in the faith, those who are just born, need to know. And we want to press on this point tonight about this of growth as we go on to take a look at other subjects. And so, what is it that the Lord expects of His children in this age, in this time in which we live? Okay, because we're here, we are here now. Okay, we are in this time. Okay, and so in this New Testament church age, our Lord has a design. Now, you know good and well that men, women change and go against or don't are not obedient to the design of our Lord. That happens with people. I was thinking in this context, in this time in which we live, you remember in the book of Acts as the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, and I think maybe it was when he and Brother Silas had taken up in the second missionary journey. I believe that that's when it is. And they ran onto some fellas that they asked, have you received the Holy Ghost yet? Have you received the Holy Spirit? And they said, haven't ever heard that there is one. Well, unto what were you baptized then? Paul asked them. And they said, unto John's baptism. To me, I take that to be that there was a fella who had followed the ministry of John and John's preaching, John's teaching, which was of the Lord, right? So there's no quarreling with John at all because he's sent from God. He's a man sent from God to baptize and to preach and to be a forerunner of Christ. But these had taken maybe from John himself or evidently from one that followed John, and they went around going and baptizing folks, pointing to what John was doing. And the Apostle Paul said, okay. He didn't say that, did he? He preached to them about how the order was and how John was sent to baptize. The baptism was obtained. That authority was obtained by Jesus Christ when he went to John to be baptized of him. And a pattern, an example is at hand. And then who's baptizing in John chapter 3 and John chapter 4? The Lord's church, the Lord's apostles are then baptizing. And that baptism is passed on. That baptism of John given to him to pursue and to do, preaching Christ coming, was given to John and then obtained by Jesus as a man, if you will, in that authority. Because Jesus is the head of our church, right? He's the head of all the Lord's churches, right? All of His churches. And He then gave that to His church to administer. And in John chapter 3, John chapter 4, remember the word that is there is that the Pharisees heard that Jesus was making more disciples than John. And John's disciples heard about that. And they're kind of jealous of John. And John says, that's the way it's supposed to be. I'm rejoicing because he's here. He must increase and I must decrease. And the Lord didn't baptize anybody himself, but his church did. And the apostles there. And then as churches were formed from that first church in Jerusalem, pass that on down. So we see that, back to that example there in Acts, there was a pursuit of a different way than the design. And as it was for those men that Paul met, it got straightened out. Okay, and the whole thing about them receiving the Holy Spirit is a subtopic in and of itself that we don't have the time for, but if you have any questions about that, I'd be glad to talk to you about it, and we can look into the scriptures about it. But in this New Testament church age, our Lord has a design, and what is it? Now, these are not in any particular order, but they are essentials for the newborn babe, the newborn child of God. In Hebrews chapter 10, let's take a look here, and we'll have to hurry through these to get through them all tonight to get to them. So we'll have to hasten, as the preacher says. All right. Three things are mentioned here. Four things, actually. Verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Verse number 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Number 3 and verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. The child of God needs to assemble and to be with one of the Lord's churches. Needs to be a part. Okay, and we're going to get to that point here in a minute. But needs to go to a scriptural New Testament Baptist church, or the Lord's church that he has instituted. As it is now, we're called Baptists. In days gone by, we were not. Okay, but that's what the child of God needs to do. Let's take a look over here in 1 Peter chapter 2. We've touched on this verse before as something that is essential for the newborn child of God is to what? Number two, read your Bible. I like to use the wording, feed upon the Word of God. Feed on it. Reading the Bible once a day is a good thing. Make sure that you're getting what you're reading. Listening to the Word of God is a good thing. If the bogey is just to read it once, well, that's not a bad, in and of itself, it's not bad. But what's wrong with reading it twice or three times? Or reading it and listening to it, or feeding on it somehow, and meditating upon it, and talking to the Lord about it. See, we need to consume the Word of God and feed upon it. We can get hung up on just the reading part. Okay, I read my chapter for today, and it's better to do that than to not. But we need to get what we're reading. I propose to you, if you're reading a chapter, you're reading three chapters and you're not getting it in you, slow down and maybe just read some pieces. It's good to read your Bible through in a year. That's not a bad thing. That getting it in us is a good thing. But then we need to have understanding too. And so this is a lifetime work. Don't be put off that it's such a large book in that respect that it's just too hard and give up. No, stay at it. Stay at it. You know, might be sometimes you read less. Consume might be sometimes read more. You and I all know that if the only time that you feed on the Word of God is in services, you know it's not enough. Amen? Amen. You know, you and I both know it's not enough. It's not enough if we just get it in church services. If we ate that way, we would starve. 1 Peter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. As the maturing child of God grows, that you keep on desiring that Word. And, you know, milk goes into cottage cheese and goes into cheddar cheese and maybe goes into something else. I won't mention ice cream. But then you start getting down to good vegetables and you get into steak and get into meat, right? That's the way the Word of God is. The Word of God is endless in what the Lord has for us that He will teach us. But you know what? If we don't embark upon it, we will never get to the next step. We will never get to the next level. We will never get to the next thing if we don't take the Lord at His word. In Acts chapter 17, this is a verse that is used. Now, it's good, I think, and maybe in some respects it's misunderstood. But look here in Acts 17, the apostle on these on this journey, as before he's arriving at Athens, there's a town there by the name of Berea, and these Jews are given the commendation that should be accommodation indeed for the saints, okay? Well, what does it say here in verse number 11 of Acts 17? Let's read verse number 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. So they're dealing with the Jews in the synagogue. These Jews in the synagogue there at Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They didn't just take the man's word for it, but you know what? They knew they had to go to the Old Testament scriptures. And what is what this guy talking about? Is it really true? They saw that it was true. And the Lord illuminated them to that and the blessing of that. And you know what? They said it jibes. It is speaking of Christ. He is the one. And so then they received it. And we know indeed that there would be a church that would be formed there. We need to search the scriptures. Search the scriptures daily. You know, one thing that does well in dealing with the Bible is to have some kind of study. To have some kind of study. And if you don't know about it, topics to pursue a study, ask. I'll give you some topics. But the Bible's full of them. And they will help us, you know, and they're like building blocks. Character studies, word studies, the pursuit of a doctrine through the scripture, Old Testament references in the New Testament. All those things go together, and they're the building blocks that are there in the scriptures. These search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. We talked last time where the scripture says about not being a child in Ephesians, blown about by every wind of doctrine. The way that you and I can get anchored up is to get anchored up in our Lord, in His Word. And when some doctrine comes along, we don't have to study all the false doctrines. We just need to study the truth, and we'll be settled in that. And when the foul stuff comes our way, we'll be able to have discernment. You know, God's Word says this. That doesn't jibe with what God says. So go to a Baptist, a Bible-believing Baptist teaching, a Baptist church, and New Testament church. What it is find a church like the Lord's church, and that descended from there. Read and feed upon the Bible. Next, there needs to be obedience. There needs to be obedience unto our Lord. In Matthew chapter 3, we mentioned about this earlier, about Jesus having gone to John. We see that here in Matthew chapter 3, and was baptized of him. Have you scratched your head wondering why Jesus went to John? I mean, Jesus is God. He's God. Why does he go to a man to be baptized? It's the order and plan of God. There's several things at hand here. John was sent by God to baptize, and evidently there had been none other. That's the way it seems to me, is there had been none other that had done this thing of taking those that testified that they believed in the one that John was preaching, that was coming, that John actually preached in time. He's at hand. And they said, I believe, I'm trusting in him, the one that you're preaching, John, that he's the answer to the Old Testament scriptures. And they would come testifying such, confessing their sins. They'd repented of their sins as John preached. They understood about the judgment to come, and that they in and of themselves could not give a good answer in the judgment, that they needed this Savior. All right. Remember how John preached about the one with the fan in his hand is going to thoroughly purge his floor, going to gather the wheat in the garner and burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. That was telling about the judgment. That was telling about this one, the one that would come and baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. It's right there up against that example. Jesus is the one that saves, and Jesus is the one that puts in hell. It's just that plain. And so John would baptize them, bury them in water, and then bring them back out, telling about what Christ would do in his gospel. And so Jesus goes to John. It says here in Matthew 3:13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee. It's accounted all the way from Galilee. There, Capernaum was typically where the Lord was, his headquarter base. Might have been further over to the west. At the beginning of this journey, 60 miles, we reckon it, that the Lord walked all the way down there. Couldn't have Jesus got some water there in the Sea of Galilee and just dunked himself? I mean, he's divine. He's the Lord. It's all his plan. It's not our plan. It's not John's plan. It's the Lord's plan. He's invented this of salvation in the gospel, and he becoming God, coming down, becoming a man, being the Savior, being the judge, being the king. It's the Lord's work. Why does he go to John? But he goes from Galilee to Jordan, the River Jordan, east over there of Jerusalem is where John, unto John, to be baptized of him. Listen to this. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Say, hey, I want you to baptize me. If anybody needs baptism, if there's any baptism that I've involved with concerning you, Lord, I need to be baptized to you. What's Jesus say? And comest thou to me? And Jesus answering, verse 15, said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. This is the way that it is. This is the plan. This is the order. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, ran up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So we have the testimony of the Trinity at hand at this baptism. You know what? We've got the Lord here going to a specific man that has specific authority. That's the kind of baptism I want. Amen. I mean, that's the one I'm looking for. And the Lord, we'll go ahead and touch on this while we're here in John chapter 3. Let's take a look real quick. We'll just throw this in here to round this out. Here's a very narrow strip of time where the Lord is baptizing and John is baptizing. Verse number 22 of John 3. After these things came Jesus and his disciples in the land of Judea, and he tarried with them and baptized. Okay, so is he baptizing? He's with his disciples. Okay, it's kind of foggy about exactly who is. And John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salem, okay, over there on the Jordan, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then this question that I mentioned to you is in these verses 25 on, or up here in John's disciples being jealous about him. And then we come here to verse number or 1 of chapter 4. Therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, his church, the leadership therein. He departed, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. He must needs go through Samaria. And you know that account there in chapter 4. So John, the Lord goes to John, is baptized of him. And then, if you will, he has given that authority to baptize. John is baptizing at the direction of God Almighty. Jesus goes to John to be baptized of him, and now Jesus has that baptism that is passed on all the way down in time through the Lord's churches unto this day. We have that in the perpetuity and the succession that we believe and understand has taken place with the Lord's churches. That's the kind of baptism, that's the kind of church that needs to be found. Not all that, it's not a Christian ordinance, it's a church ordinance. And it's not just involving water. But there's believers, a believer at hand, the mode and immersion and the authority and the purpose and all those things that are involved. And so, someone that is saved needs to follow the Lord. If the Lord was baptized, should we discount that? By no means. We should pursue that also. You and I both know that in Matthew chapter 28, it's the second part of the commission that the Lord Jesus gave to his church to fulfill. Preach the gospel to every creature. Baptize the believers. It's to continue on. The Lord's expectation is that his churches will continue on in that. And then in Acts chapter 2, let's read here. In Acts chapter 2, early on, here the church is, the Lord's church there, waiting for the sanctioning of the Lord and the great message that is preached by the brethren. In Acts chapter 2, verse number 41, then they that gladly received his word, the preaching of our brethren, brother Peter and the others, they received his word, were baptized. The same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What an explosion in the Lord's first church. 3,000 testified, yes, I believe in the Christ that you preach, and I believe in the pattern and the design that he has given. And so then they submitted to baptism and said, we want to identify with our Savior. Again, baptism is no sacrament or no saving, has no saving merit or grace about it, but is an ordinance to be administered by the Lord's churches. So, go to a Bible-believing church, and a Baptist, a church that descends from the Lord's first church, consume that Bible and be baptized. And by virtue of that, we understand and know that the scriptures bear out that baptism is that entrance of the child of God into that local assembly. That is the Lord's churches manifested local assemblies. And then the child of God is to what? Keep on doing. The context and the design is to repent of your sins, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord's Savior, be baptized, join one of the Lord's churches, feed upon that word and study and get to know your Lord better and better in His word, and then tell about it to others, to be a witness of the Lord. And so let's take a look here at some of this. In Luke chapter 24, I think that this is a great verse that to understand this, that we are all in this, members of Olmsted Baptist Church, we are all together in this, and a reiteration of the commission is given here in some part. Where to start? Verse 45 of Luke chapter 24. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and we need that from our Lord. We need to pray our Lord would bless with that. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer. It was to be. Don't regret it, but understand that it was ordained of God for it to be, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins, repentance of sins and payment for sins by Christ, should be preached in His name among all nations, starting right here in Jerusalem. That's the reason He put His church right there in Jerusalem to start that work. And ye are witnesses of these things. Now, you and I weren't there 2,000 years ago to see our Savior hang on Calvary. But you know what? By faith, we do see and believe that Christ died. I'm not talking about seeing the actual image of our Lord hanging there, but I tell you what, if you're saved, you know of a surety that He did and that He did so for you. We are the witnesses of these things. I pray the Lord will help us that we'd be a good witness of these things. Lord, help me. That needs to be our prayer. Lord, help me to be a good witness. We are a witness one way or the other. We can be a bad one or we can be a good one. We're being a witness. May we be a good witness. And ye are witnesses of these things, our Lord says. The apostles and the members of this first church, they saw it. They saw it happen. They could testify and say, I saw it with these eyes, and I saw Him alive after He died. You and I, we know He is alive. We didn't see it with these eyeballs, but you know what? You know how we know He lives? He lives within our hearts, and we believe Him in His word. And so we're to be witnesses indeed of our Lord, His witnesses. This is testified in the scriptures. Let's take a look over here in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, Brother Peter preaching there to Cornelius's house. And what's he say? Well, you know what? He says what the Lord said. that's what you and I, what do I say? What the Lord says. What do we tell? What the Lord says, what the Lord did for us, what the Lord said. Listen to what Peter says here in Acts chapter 10 as he's with Cornelius and his household and his friends. Verse 39, as he begins to preach about the Lord's ministry, the Old Testament scriptures, His ministry. And here speaking about our Lord's ministry, verse 39, we don't have time to read it all. It says in verse 38, He anointed Jesus with this, with the Holy Ghost and with power. Verse 39, and we are witnesses of all this, all things which He did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. We're witnesses of these things. Verse number 41, as He speaks regarding His church. Verse 40. Him God raised up the third day and showed Him openly, not to all the people. That's an interesting point. Who was it that Jesus appeared to Who was it that Jesus appeared to? Who was it that Jesus administered the Lord's Supper as he observed the Passover the night before his death? And who was it that he met with on that first day of the week? His church. Not all of Jerusalem, but his church. And there may, the count may have been a few hundred, okay? One day we'll look to talk about that and see, take a look at the scriptures, what the scripture tells us, many things regarding such. He says, but not unto all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead, were the witnesses. He's visited us, and we've got, that is a charge from the Lord. And again, the design is follow the Lord in baptism, become a member of one of his churches, feed on that word, learn about your Lord, and then tell about him and what he has done for you and what he has done for sinners. We go on in Acts chapter 13. There's another reference here. Let's take a look here around verse number 31. And when they fulfilled, verse 29 rather, in Acts 13, and when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, of Jesus, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him up from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And that's, they are long dead, but you and I are here and alive and a witness of Christ. You know, you can take a look at this in the Old Testament scriptures, in Isaiah. There's several passages that are missing in Isaiah 43 and 44. You know, the Lord's house, his nation at that time was Israel. And what did he tell them? You are the witnesses. You're my witnesses in the world. It's where the keys of the kingdoms were. That's where the oracle of God first came. And now the Lord's church has the keys of the kingdom, has the pillar as the pillar and ground of the truth. We're a repository for the word of God. We have the commission given to us to go out and tell this lost and dying world about our Lord and to teach, baptize the believers and teach them. The Lord has always had his children as witnesses. That's his design. He uses the means of his children to carry on his work that he might be glorified. You remember in John chapter 4, the woman at the well. The Lord dealt with her. She wanted to talk about politics. She wanted to talk about racism. She wanted to talk about this, that, and the other. The Lord brought her back to what she needed. Brought her back to what she needed. And then he said, I that speak unto thee am he. She had said, well, when the Lord comes back, he'll straighten us all out. He said, I that speak unto thee am he. You know what she did with that water pot? She forgot all about getting water. She went back to Samaria, Sychar, that was the city. And you know what? She went to the men and she said, come see a man that told me all that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? She witnessed of her Lord, didn't she? See? And so we see that. So witness for the Lord. And then, oh, what a blessing our Lord has given us in this of prayer. Prayer. We can pray. Not only can we hear our Lord speaking to us through his word and by the leadership of the Spirit within us, by the work of the Comforter that we have in the Lord's church, but we have this blessed thing of prayer. We can take our hearts to our Lord in everything. Brother David gives us a great example of this in his writings and in the Psalms. When David was grouchy, he talked to the Lord. When David was sad, he talked to the Lord. When David was happy and rejoicing, he talked to the Lord. He asked the Lord, why are these things going on this way? Not accusing the Lord ever. But you know what? He was open and honest with the Lord. When he hurt, he said, Lord, I heard, and I need help. When he was afraid, he said, Lord, I fear, but I'm trusting and resting in you. And prayer, speaking to God, not by rote, but bearing our hearts unto our Lord. It says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6, Philippians 4, verse number 6, be careful for nothing. Our Lord has not given us the spirit of fear. Our Lord does not want us worrying and fretting. Our Lord wants us trusting and resting in Him. When you and I would take up to take and fret and worry about a thing, I tell you what, that's the signal. The light's coming on. Go to the Lord in prayer. Don't waste the time worrying, fretting, wringing hands about things that you and I cannot even change, have no impact or effect in. You know what? When we begin to wring our hands and to worry, it's time to get on our knees and go to our Lord, asking Him to work in that thing. Let that be a reminder to us. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. You know what? I love this about supplication. That means that I can pray for you and you can pray for me. Isn't that wonderful? It's not just that we can go and pray for ourselves and our own. We can supplicate for our brothers and sisters. We can supplicate for the sinner. We can supplicate for those that we know of that need help from the Lord. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. I tell you what, be a thankful people. We've been rescued. We've been brought from darkness to light, marvelous light, the scripture tells us. We have been saved from hell and the lake of fire, separated from God, total darkness, fire and brimstone, a memory that will never go away. We've been saved from that to eternal glory and bliss with our Lord. We'll share with Him in His glory. We've got a lot to be thankful for. Daily provision, sense to get up and go about. You know, there are some that are born and they just don't have any sense. Praise God that He gives presence of mind. Are you good at your work and what you do? That's a blessing from God. That's a blessing from the Lord. Thank Him and pray to Him. It says here, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Child of God, pray to your Lord. Thank Him. Ask Him. Tell Him. In the right attitude, complain to Him. You know, sometimes the complaints of the children of God, the Lord will take that and use that to straighten us up. Lord, you know how that's going, and you know I don't like it. Lord, where I'm wrong, you know, you can't hardly come to the Lord because, see, you know the Lord knows everything that's going on. And you can't hardly go to the Lord, if your heart's right, you can't go to the Lord complaining about another without qualifying about maybe that you're the one with the problem. I'm the one with the problem. You know what I'm saying? Because, see, the Lord knows. What you and I don't know, the Lord knows. And it's good for us to fellowship with our Lord in that way. He's made it. Jesus is at the right hand making intercession, and the Spirit of God's taking it back and forth. The Spirit of God is doing what needs to be done for us and the things that we ask. Matthew chapter 7, our Lord Jesus here on the Sermon on the Mount, He declared it. You know what? It's simple. It's simple. We need it simple. Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. What's He say? For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Now this isn't a health and wealth gospel, not a prosperity gospel. But you know what? What we need, our Lord will give it to us. And what we ask Him for, He will work to give us what we need. And we need to believe Him. We, rather than pursue our own way, need to pursue Him and let Him take care of the details. You know what's said here in the previous chapter, verse number 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the things of life shall be added unto us, what we need. Don't take care, don't take thought for tomorrow. Live today for the Lord. And go to Him in prayer and ask Him for the things that we need. Many other passages. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Brother Jim, I got to drive to work. I got to work. How can I pray without? You know what? Like the brother that was there before the king, I get Nehemiah and Ezra mixed up. I can't keep those guys straight. What's that? Nehemiah, thank you. The king asked him what was going on, why his countenance was the way it was. And he asked right there, Lord, give me the words to say to him. He prayed in his heart to the Lord. You know what? We can do that. We can do that. Lord, keep me from the evil when we see evil at hand. Lord, as he brings different ones to our hearts and minds through the course of the day. And then lastly, and what we want to take a look at tonight, the newborn child of God needs to go and become a part of one of the Lord's churches and attend, feed on the Word of God by virtue of baptism, become a part of the Lord's church, be a witness of Him, pray to Him, thank Him, and ask and seek and knock in prayer with our Lord, and then lastly, honor Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, honor Him. We are bought with a price. We are not our own. And so we need to honor our Lord with our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19, the scripture says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we need to honor Him. We need to glorify Him in our life. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. What comes from us? The Lord spoke much about how the mouth, the tongue, tells about what's in our hearts. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 20, He says, put away these things of the flesh, verse 20 of Ephesians 4. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. And you see that word conversation, the scripture is talking about thinking, speaking, and doing. The old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, put him away. Kill him off. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Our conversation, what we think, speak, and do, may we honor the Lord with it. And then what we understand from the beginning, and it's something how there's controversy about this, but it seems to me to be so simple. Turn to Genesis chapter 4. We need to honor the Lord with our lives, with our conversation. We need to honor our Lord with our living, with our increase. That's the design. The Lord doesn't look to the heathen to take care of the work of the Lord. All that order that was given to Israel was for the children of Israel to provide for the things that needed to be provided for in the ministry and the work of the Lord in that day. So it is with the church. The Old Testament scriptures in Malachi 3:10 end up very near the end of the book, the Old Testament. Bring the tithes into the storehouse. That's just a standard kind of thing. Well, Jesus didn't talk much about tithing. Why? It's just boilerplate in life. That's the reason. Genesis 4:4, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, not the lastlings, but the firstlings, right off the top to honor the Lord. He brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. And so it is that all that we are given by our Lord, we are increased. And being the Lord's children in one of His churches, we need to contribute in tithes and offerings to His work. It's just a standard thing with the Lord. Look over here in Genesis 14. Genesis chapter 14. And understand the tithe is just getting started. The tenth is just getting started. That's the way that it is. That's just, as my pastor would say, that's just kind of like rent. The tithe is just like rent. In Genesis chapter 14, we see Brother Abraham here, Brother Abram at this time. He's the slaughter of the kings, and he meets Brother Melchizedek. We read here in verse number 18 of Genesis 14. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed he the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand." And he gave him the man of God. That's what we had here. The Lord's dealing with men and with families at this time. And this is the first man of God that Abram has met, Melchizedek, king of Salem, king of peace, representative of our Lord. He gave him tithes, a tenth of all that he had. And the thing is along the way, Abram made some of that and used some of that in business. See, like somebody has a business. The Lord understands about expenses in a business. But you and I personally, in our incomes, what we get in our paychecks right on the top is the gross is what we are profited. The Lord says we ought to pay our taxes, but the Lord's not concerned about calculating the taxes out of it. All right. And I don't talk much about, I bet I've talked about tithing about three times in 9 years. But that is a way that we honor our Lord. And I'm thankful that in our church, we don't have any kind of issue with this. I'm thankful that that's the case. In Deuteronomy, the Lord made it clear to the children of Israel. Now the Lord's dealing with, as a nation, with them in Deuteronomy 12. We'll not read that passage, but he gives them instruction about tithing. And then look at this in Matthew chapter 23. I've referred this verse here recently, and so just want to point it out. Matthew 23:23. He's dealing with the religious leadership and the hypocrites, their hypocritical way. Listen to what he says, Matthew 23:23. "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint." And I tell you what, mint's really small. "Of anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith." You're devoid of judgment, mercy, and faith, but you tithe perfectly out of your herb garden. Listen what Jesus says. "These ought you to have done and not leave the other undone." You should be tithing out of your herb garden or the equivalent thereof, he says. And as we see in 1 Corinthians in chapter 16 about a necessity that is at hand, and from time to time we have that comes up here in our church, and folks give to the need. The Apostle Paul instructs this church. He's not talking about tithes. He's talking about a need that it's at hand for the saints there in Galatia. He says here in chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians, verse number 1, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every man, every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." He said, don't look to bring it when I show up. Have it already collected, because Paul's coming to gather it and then to get it, to take it unto those churches in Galatia. And so here we see the principle and the understanding and the teaching of there's offerings too. There's tithes and there's offerings for the work of the ministry and for the help of the saints. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and here's how it is. Our Lord says in the Gospels, it's more blessed to give than to receive. We need to remember that. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 6, it says in the Old Testament scriptures, "Cast your bread on the water, it's going to return to you after many days." Verse number 6 of 2 Corinthians 9, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." That's what the Lord says. That's what the Word of God says. "Every man according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." And so we need to give that which our Lord has profited us. In the New Testament church age, our Lord has a design for growth for the child of God. It involves being a member of His church, feeding on His word, and having joined that church by virtue of baptism, to be a witness for Him, to be thankful and pray unto Him, and to honor Him with our life, our conversation, and our living. May the Lord help and bless His word.